What up, Buzz? You tapped in? Okay, Goose, okay, you tapped in too? All right, Chicago, y'all tapped in? All right, boys, let's crack them.
Daddy, you ready to see?
Feel like Mike in the fourth with the ball in my hands and I'm taking a shot. I'm the king in the madhouse on Madison, whether I make it or not. Now the crowd going crazy, they watching the play and I'm watching the clock. Got my shot in the air and the buzzer go off and I'm watching it drop. This team did things, MJ, Shot City, six rings. D-Rose, too big, too fast, too strong, history. And we good on that, put Jilla on the track and we good on WAC. 3, 2, 1, everybody say Bulls on tap, Bulls on tap. Our city pretty and gritty. Benny the Bull in the crowd getting hyper and litty. Me, I'm so drippy and slippery, nothing offends me. Banners on banners, we winners. We got the stats in the news. Go and subscribe, hang out with Buzzy and Goose. Tapping with us, we the truth. Jilla just murdered the booth.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Bulls on Tap. I'm your boy Buzz. I'm joined by my dude Goose. And we're just, you know, here to talk Bulls basketball because there's like three games left. Season's going to end soon. And we just try to check in weekly now because, why, you know, there's nothing really great to talk about with this team. And I know it started off bad. Don't leave because I'm miserable. Oh my God, they might be, Goose. They might be. Before you do leave, though, just listen to this. They're plugs. And it's important so we can pay our bills. OnTapSportsNet.com is where to go. Follow us at Goose on Tap, at Buzz on Tap, at Bulls on Tap, at OnTap Sportsnet. Give us a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen to podcasts and subscribe to the YouTube. Okay. We're good now. What's up, man?
Not much. You know, just chilling. The second to last show, assuming the Bulls don't end up sneaking into the playoffs and beating Boston in the first round, you know, because we're uber competitive. So I'm totally expecting that to happen.
Uber competitive. Yo, what's up, Alex? What's going on, man? It was kind of a rough couple days since our last show. So we talked after the Timberwolves win, after the Hawks lost, but the Knicks, I think, were the game last week where the Bulls won 108-100 against the Knicks. They put on a hell of a performance in that game. Goose, I've got the box score pulled up because this is something I really wanted to talk about. So Javonte Green gets signed for the rest of the season. We talked about that in the other show, our last show, and he plays 33 minutes in this game. He goes 10 for 14, 1 for 2 from downtown. He had 25 points and 13 rebounds. Speak on Javonte Green right now. Speak on Javonte, and you know, obviously the team's not good enough for him to be a kick in the ass needed, but how did you have fun at least watching him ball out?
Of course. We had the Javonte Green Power Hour for the longest time on this show. And he was something that even on nights like the Knicks loss and getting your ass kicked by the team that you traded assets to acquire a B-list star who hasn't played out very well for you. Javonte was somebody that could put a smile on your face, whether it was a dunk, a hustle play, similar to Caruso, he just brings the energy and the grit and the love of the game and the passion that you enjoy as a fan. So even on shitty nights, Javonte can save the game for you in terms of watchability. He did more than that in the previous Knicks game where he got kicked in the head pretty early to start the game and then just went
That was
off.
The same game.
That was the same game.
He got fucking just, I mean, roundhoused. Man. Josh Hart. Right. Josh Hart got ejected.
Yep. I mean, like, do I think he's a dirty player? No. But why the hell is your foot that high?
No, I don't think Josh. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, mate, he was probably overcompensating or something like that. I mean, he's not a dirty player. He's a hell of a defender. He's a pit bull. That's why Tibbs wanted him. But I don't think he meant to, like, try to hurt Javonte Green, you know?
Especially, like, if you're going to do something intentional like that, you're not going to waste the intentional factor on Javonte Green.
What did you think about Jalen Brunson's performance in that game the Bulls won in? 35 points, 13 for 20-80, hit 1 of 5 from downtown, but he had 35 points, 11 boards, and 11 assists, 6 boards. He should be an MVP candidate.
His efficiency is just insane.
He's 6'2".
He's like if Trae Young actually shared the ball with his teammate.
Fuck Trae Young.
Yes, that too. But like in terms of like elite player like Trae Young, but actually somebody you'd want to play with. It's
a damn shame what happened to Randle over there for them.
You know, it's one of those weird instances with Randle, though, where it might have made the team better.
You think so?
Have we seen – go look up Randle's numbers in the playoffs the last 2 years. Yes. This may have been a favor done for them in the sense that Randle is not going to be available for the playoffs, and they've had the time and kind of been forced to adjust and adapt without him for a long enough stretch to where whatever they're riding into the playoffs, they're going to be used to being without him already anyway. And they added OG, so they play a little bit smaller, but they also did just get Mitchell Robinson back after missing 50 games. So, right. You know, they're getting certain guys back that I feel provide utility, and it's allowing Brunson, like, when you have Randle, he's really not something to write home about defensively. So you have to give him touches offensively.
Yeah, but I mean, but that's the thing, though. Is, I mean, when he's on, he's on, and it kind of provides a little bit less stress for Brunson. I mean, this Knicks team is very similar to a team I used to remember that Tibbs coached.
But also less opportunity and freedom for Brunson as well.
Yeah,
so,
that's true. That's true.
I mean, and we haven't seen how Randle and OG play together, so it's kind of hard to gauge.
They got a couple in, didn't they, or did they not get any in?
I don't know if they got any.
I can't remember myself. Moving on from the Knicks before we get beat the shit out of for all the Knicks praise we gave there for a minute. Bulls drop one to Orlando after the Knicks game. They're 113-98. Vooch in this game. Got to talk about it. Got to talk about 1-for-9. 0-for-4 from downtown. 6-for-7 from the free throw line. He had 8 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists. That is inexcusable from a star player.
Well, from
I
a
use
star
that term lostly.
Playing the team that you're going to be most remembered for playing against, too. Like, those are the games you're supposed to show out. Like, when we see Lauri Markkanen, he destroys us.
Yeah.
Like, that's what you're supposed to do when you go back to the team that gave up on you. The team that said, we would rather be in the lottery and trade you to the Bulls than build around you. And they have. They made it to the lottery, and they have now passed the team that they traded you to, which is embarrassing, and it hurts, and it sucks for us as fans.
It's such a kick in the fucking dick.
But for you, know, you like, sir, like Mr. Vucevic, you're supposed to go out and kick your old team's ass.
Yeah.
That's like the few games a year that we're supposed to see the dog in you that we know doesn't exist consistently.
No, he goes out there and he lays a fucking egg in Orlando, dude. They do beat him a bunch before the game or something. He couldn't go out there and fucking play.
Yeah, you know, he must have just went to all of his old stomping grounds, knows where all the good spots are. And
that's
just
like an inexcusable performance, man, you know? Yeah. It's fucking irritating. Like, bro, you got hoed by Wendell Carter Jr.
Yep, you got hoed by the guy that was traded for you, that was supposed to be by no means ever as good as you. That was supposed to be the clear-cut thing that happened there, and that it's not the case. I mean, I think historically he'll probably still be a better player than Wendell Carter Jr.
Oh, yeah.
When you go head to head,
that's
and
not fucking
you lose
hard,
to the
though.
Guy that was traded for you.
I mean, it'd be hard for me. I want to throw out there immediately. I would get destroyed by Wendell Carter Jr. in a game of 1-on-1 basketball. I would not score a fucking point. My ankles would break before I stepped on the court just by looking at him.
Sir, why would you be playing 1-on-1 with like a 6'10", 6'11" professional athlete?
Because I like to challenge myself.
You know, you're allowed to give a critique and a legitimate opinion just because you're not 6'11".
Yeah.
Incapable of putting up a double-double just by standing.
But if I was.
If you were.
I would probably be pretty bad. I'm not coordinated.
You know.
I'm actually pretty coordinated. I played nice.
You probably would be tall for nothing if you were 6'11".
Dude, I always wanted to be 6 foot. It didn't work out for me. I'm 5'9".
If it makes you feel better. I always wanted to be 6 foot, and I'm like 5'11 and a half. I'm just like, just not there.
It makes me feel a little bit better because you're not there either.
Yeah. I mean, so at least your dreams were just like not ever going to happen.
Yeah.
Mine were actually like a potential reality, and then life was just like, fuck you. Fix your posture, asshole. Fix your posture.
Fix your posture. I know I've been working on my posture. Dude, should I sit up straight and shit like that? Oh, fuck that, dude. I like being hunched over. All right. So after that, Bulls lose again or lose to the Knicks. Awesome Jalen Brunson performance that won 45 points. DeMar gave us a hell of a performance, had a big fourth quarter in that game. It just wasn't enough to get the Bulls over the hump. Coby White's been having not the easiest time over the last few games. I feel like he struggled a lot over his last five games, 15.2 points per game, 3.8 assists, 3.2 boards. I don't have like the actual percentage pulled up in front of me, but it's bad from three, from 3-point land. It's bad. It's got to be like fucking 30 something percent. Less than 31%. If I'm doing the math right. And then from the field, it's been very shaky as well. He's had two games in the last five over 50% from the field. And then three of the games on the last five, 38%, 25%, 36%.
I feel like last night was the first night that we've kind of seen a glimpse of pre-injury Coby. And to be fair, I'm kind of just glad to see him playing. When Siakam fell on him and I watched his hip do whatever it did, I did not anticipate him playing at all for the rest of the season. Like, I thought it was game over. Coby got folded in half. As big as he is for a guard, and as strong as he has kind of built himself up to be since his rookie season, I didn't think that he was coming back from that to play again this season, which was the worst possible thing ever, because the only thing that this play-in game is good for, in my mind, is going to be for your IOs, for your Kobe's, for the young guys that are probably still going to be on this team the next time that you might make a legitimate playoff run, to get them that experience in that competitive atmosphere at this level of competition in the NBA that they might not have experienced since college. So that is the only stuff that matters to me in this season. We know DeMar has got plenty of playoff experience, very little playoff success. We don't have Zach. We don't have Pat. The only thing that matters in this playoff game is the experience for the guys that may be here when it matters.
Play in,
yes.
Yeah, the play-in game.
Are the Hawks winning games? Do we have the potential of finishing 10th instead of 9th? Like, I get home court advantage and blah, 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 but, like, I'd rather have
Three games left. The Bulls are 37 and 42, so they need to win two more games to you know, clinch. Two out of the last three is what they need to win to make sure that they get the home court advantage there.
Well, I'm trying to make sure that they get like the better lottery slot. I don't really care.
Fucking just lose out, because this is another year of below 500 basketball. You know what? Even
more so, they need to get to the 10th slot so Jerry doesn't get his extra revenue.
Well, speaking of that son of a bitch, why don't we listen to this here? So Jerry Reinsdorf, a lot of people hate him. I'm not a fan myself of Jerry. I think that he doesn't care about sports. He's a billionaire, and, you know, I'm not trying to hate. Like, listen, the guy made his money. He did his thing. I'm not trying to tell him what to do with his team. But, like, oh, my God, man, you got two teams at the bottom of the barrel. This fucking team behind me, the White Sox, are the worst team in the MLB. He's got the Bulls on the outside. We talked about this a little bit last week. But look at this, dude. I'm reading off the record for the Bulls over the last six seasons, okay? 27-55 in 2017-18. 22-60. In 2018-2019, 22-43 in 2019-2020, 2020-2021, 31-41. We had the 35 games of excellence in 21-22. We're 46-36. Last year we finished 40-42, and this year we're already at 42 losses. So one time out of the last 6 years have the Bulls held a over 500 record. I mean, this is pathetic. And this is what I mean. This is what I mean to the people that fucking, you know, say stupid shit about how you need to love your team and praise them. You hear what I just fucking said? No, you hear what I just fucking said? The Chicago Bulls, over the last fucking 6 years, have had a positive 500 record once. And everybody's jumping up and down about a fucking stupid play-in. Newsflash, we don't have Steph. We don't have LeBron. We're getting fucked up, and we're getting bounced.
A below 500 sympathy postseason game that isn't even a real playoff game is not what I watch 82 regular season games to feel. And obviously, three of those seasons that you rattled off were seasons you were intentionally trying to lose. but you also intentionally tried to lose those seasons to only end up with Patrick Williams, and you traded away pretty much all the other assets that you acquired besides Kobe, luckily, one of the few positive decisions that was made in that time frame. You have nothing. You have one positive win-loss season after intentionally losing for 3 years. And as much as I was done with the mediocrity of Jimmy Butler, and I was okay not giving him a supermax and trading him instead of doing so because I felt that would have brought more mediocrity, you at least knew you were going to be at or above 500 with Jimmy on your team going forward. You could have built around him and kept the same thing going. That's not why you lost those games. That's not this team that is built currently is not what we all suffered through all that for. We didn't hit the reset button for this. And as much as this, I guess, what do I even want to call it? Tenure of this team has given me moments of excitement. I just watched Lonzo Ball's Snapchat story, and it starts with him playing with his daughter, shows him at the gym bench pressing 245 in his back room with a buddy, shows him in a New Orleans Pelicans jersey, shows him with LeBron James saying never an enemy. Not once do I see a highlight of the Chicago Bulls. There's him throwing lobs to Zion. There's him talking about getting back in the lab. There's him looking like he's loving life. But there is not one highlight in that Snapchat reel, granted, just from the last 8 hours, of the Chicago Bulls.
No, that's okay. I mean, he's got a player option. You think he'd decline it? I don't.
For the amount of money, no. Do I think that he takes that option and tries to find a way to get traded out of Chicago if they blow this thing up? Maybe. Although,
what's left to blow up? Zach, DeMar, and Vooch. I mean, that's it. I mean, there's nothing else here.
I guess we've already proven that we can't get anything for that. Right. That's why we're still here.
Yeah, there's nothing you could do. You just got to let DeMar walk because you didn't trade him at the deadline. You got to try to trade Zach for fucking peanuts. Maybe some Oreos. Maybe some knockoff Aldi Oreos. You know, something. I don't fucking know.
I don't want to hear Aldi mentioned in a condescending tone.
I love Aldi myself.
A lot of Aldi's food is better than the other.
No. I just don't like knockoff Oreos, okay? I don't know if you know this. I don't know if you know this. I have to tell you this. I am an Aldi shopper.
Okay. All right.
Jamie and I, we go to Aldi now.
I mean, you have to.
$100
actually gets you $100 worth of food.
I feel that way, too. I feel that way, too. They could just be marketing it as healthy, but they're just throwing it to people like me because they know that I'll, you know, try to be healthy, go in there, it'll probably kill me eventually.
You know, and this is what our show has come to. We're talking about Aldi.
It's fucking bullshit, dude. You know, like it's.
Do you think the failed double oop dunk made Billy contemplate going to Kentucky?
Fucking A, wouldn't it make you?
Oh yeah, no, that whole.
I tweeted immediately, and I didn't even know what the fuck to say. Okay, but the immediately I tweeted like, what the fuck was that? What? Like Andre, you obviously, Torrey Craig jumped before he did. And I'm like, why are you jumping?
Well,
and then what did he do to himself? He like twisted his ankle on the way down. Andre,
what is Torrey Craig doing? You're not fucking Vince Carter, bro.
Oh yeah, well we didn't even get to talk about that. But first, why is that? Andre knows he's not Vince Carter. He's already challenged. He's right behind him.
Punch that thing off the backboard for Big Cat to go get that shit. Then watched TC oop the shit to himself.
I want him gone.
Never once. In my life, have I been like, Torrey Craig, I want to see you go get that shit. No. Uh-uh.
You know what I've been like in my life? Torrey Craig, I wish you weren't on my basketball team. That's what I've been like in my life.
There's been a lot of those moments, you know.
Especially wearing fucking 13 on his jersey.
As much as we were fed how great of a veteran addition he was going to be and how he was going to help change our shooting profile this season. Between the injuries and some of the antics. And then he got teed up later in the game for no reason. And I'm once again going, Torrey Craig, who do you think you are? Like, who? Who? You're on a veteran's minimum on the Chicago fucking Bulls.
He was out there too, man. He just fucking, like, I'm watching him do it. I'm like, the defenders are right there. They're like, they're not far behind you. It's not, this is not like a breakaway by any means. Like a full one. And he has to be at this point just, fuck it. Let's see if I get myself paid if I make this. But unfortunately, like, for him, Big Cat was behind him and fucked him up.
Big Cat fucked him up, so I don't know if he got, like, the Javonte Green power hour bug, and he was just like, I'm not going to let that dude, like,
come make take my job. He
deserves a roster spot in this league more than I do. I got to do something crazy. But that blew my mind. And if I'm Billy, I'm going, you know what? College kids might not be too bad. Like, if somebody's throwing a bag at Billy, like, no. If they're throwing the bag.
It's too risky. They're not going to give him over $4 million in college. They're not. He's not going to get over $4 million at Kentucky, number one. Number two, you got to think. It's not the college that you and I grew up with. This is the new – this is NIL, transfer portal shit. This is different. If you're going to college from the NBA right now, you either have no other fucking choice or, like you said, they're throwing you an insane amount of money that you can't say no to.
And Billy has a lot more to lose going back to college.
Fuck yeah. I mean, his whole reputation, leaving the NBA like this from the Bulls and then going to Kentucky if he can't recruit well, if something goes wrong there. Like, yeah, fuck that noise, dude.
He has more to lose going there than he does to gain, just because of what he's already proved at the college level.
He's won championships, so he's done it. He's done it.
But the fan in me, like, I want him to go. I want him to just look at the front office and be like, this is so bad. I would rather risk tarnishing my legacy going back to college ball and failing than staying here and playing out my secret extension with you guys, because there is no rhyme or reason to what we're doing.
That's tough, man.
They claim to know what fans are feeling and seeing and thinking. They've said that a couple times throughout this season. And then obviously we had that little spurt that maybe convinced them otherwise, or maybe they just genuinely had no options.
I don't believe they were fully convinced of shit. I think that they know the fucking wheels are falling off this. They put themselves into a corner with what they did and the moves that they made, and they can't do anything until some of these contracts start falling off or you can get rid of them. I mean, that's all it is. That's all it is. I mean, and Zach, I mean, he's got the max. And again, we argued for that because, like, we knew we'd lose him for nothing if it was going to be the case. We knew it because they didn't pull the trigger the year before. Year one of the contract, they could have fucking moved him, but they thought they were something special. Or year two, well, no, nah, yeah, year two of the contract.
Sign and trade for Zach, do you think? I mean, his value is probably higher then than it was now.
Could we have gotten one?
Yeah.
I'm sure. I mean, I don't know for what, though, because I don't think the league is stupid. Here's another fun thing. Win shares. How much stock do you put into win shares?
All those numbers to me come down to, like, they may not be a team stat, but they're a team stat. Like, it's a situational stat. Like,
okay, so
I don't put that much into it, but Obviously, to a certain degree, it's the same metric for everybody. So if you suck at it, only so much of it can be your situation, and it might just be you.
DeMar DeRozan's led win shares for the Bulls the last 3 years in a row. They're all in the eights, 8.8, 8.5, 8.3. Okay. I'm going to read you. That can't be right. If it is, that's fucking sickening. The 2018-2019 Bulls with Hoiberg and Boylan, Ryan Arcidiacono led the team in win shares at 3.7. That's fucking mental. All right, so I can't believe that. But here, take Jimmy into consideration when he was here. 11.2, 9.1, 13.8, right? D-Rose, the MVP year, 13.1. Zach led it twice since he's been here, 4 and 5.9. He is what I said he was years ago. If in the right situation with the right players around him, Zach LaVine will flourish. If he doesn't have to be the guy, but he appears to be the guy because he fucking scores in bunches and he does a lot of good things.
So, but that was the scenario here.
They're not going to be able to move him because the whole league knows he's not a superstar and he's paid like one. That's the point.
So, but his contract does start to look better as this cap goes up.
Well, yeah, as the cap goes, of course. But that's just such a scapegoat thing.
He does a scapegoat thing, and he's also got a trade kicker, which kind of negates that inflation.
Right.
So, you know, you have to pay Zach LaVine more money to come to your team and give up shit to get him. So him kind of botching that Detroit deal by having the season-ending surgery, whether he did it to intentionally do that or not.
Oh, that, for sure. No one wants to play in Detroit, man. Fuck Detroit.
No, I mean, whether that was the exact reason or it was just a lot easier to make that choice because that was the potential outcome, I think there was definitely an influence. So the fact that that ended up being the scenario instead of him getting moved, even for just dead salary, sucks. Because then you could have had a clean slate. You could have let DeMar walk. You could have brought in some, you know, interesting young pieces, maybe poach some restricted free agents that teams couldn't afford with a heavy pocketbook without going into the luxury tax and kind of redone this thing. And now you have to see if you can do that on draft night or in the off season before the season starts. But with the way that this kind of relationship with Zach has ended, you got to almost think that Zach's got to play at least half a season for this team and be good.
Literally, any team willing to fucking take him, I'd ship him off to. I don't care what you're giving me in return. I really don't. I don't care. You got to get rid of it. Just get rid of it. Just be done with it. Move on. Got to fucking just move on.
So, you know, I mean, I guess if you're eating a bad salary for next year, maybe.
I'm fine for the next couple of years, man. We need to fucking stockpile some assets. We got to keep our picks.
Want to do it for a couple years? I'd like to, you know, maybe get like lottery lucky this offseason and then just like build around that pick and suck again next year so we keep our pick and we don't send it to San Antonio. And then maybe we do that until that pick turns into seconds or whatever the hell the implication on that trade is to them, because I know the protections decrease from 10 to 8 in the second year at least, but I don't know what happens if it doesn't convey after 2 years. So
fucking stupid, dude. Was that always an implemented thing, or when did that? I mean, I know the rules now behind it all because I've written about it, fucking talked about it for years. But like, I don't think that was a thing when I was a kid.
I don't know if it was implemented when the Stepien rule was put in place, where you couldn't trade the back-to-back picks anymore. I don't know if it was part of that clause,
right?
That's
like 2014-ish, right?
I do feel like these protections have been around for a while, though.
Like at least a decade.
At least a decade.
Because, like, didn't this start because of the whole fucking Brooklyn trade?
I think it started before that.
Did it really? Oh, okay. I
think it goes back further than that.
Damn. Okay.
But I think the trade definitely had some.
Well, that's when Brooklyn shipped all their picks to fucking Boston for Pearson Garnett.
No, that's how they got Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, and they just got everything.
Right.
Because Brooklyn never got better.
Yeah, so it existed back then. I think that was around, I don't know what year that was. I'm getting so fucking old, I can't remember what years or shit happened in anymore. I just know the time range behind it.
But what about your magical pills?
Oh, my alpha brain? I take them in the morning, dude. I'm not fucking wired right now.
It's worn off by now. Okay.
Yeah, I just had new mood. That's what it's called. It means I'm getting fucking nice and calm before I go nighty-night.
Okay.
I see the bags under my eyes look as big as a fucking Grand Cam. Exhausted, dude. I'm telling you. These fucking kids are killing me.
Kids are killing you?
Well, not really.
I was going to say, I think it's probably the day job and the Bulls more than and the
size. Oh, yeah. It's the fact that I have to go to work, and then when I come home for my hobbies, both my hobbies fucking blow.
Yeah, your fandom is draining you.
My kids don't sleep, so a little bit about my kids, too. Yeah. It's all fucking mixed in, dude.
You know what? Jerry's going to sell the Sox, and the Bulls are going to rebuild, and you won't have anything to worry about next year.
It takes a long time to rebuild a baseball team. I guess if they pick the right direction, I'll be a little bit happy, but they're going to fucking blow for a while.
What sucks is, like, even as a Cubs fan from a distance for you guys, like, I thought you guys had something cooking over there.
Yeah, so do we.
I've still got fucking Luis Robert fucking rookies.
Oh, well, he's a very good player. He's just fucking hurt.
Yeah.
And Makata blew out his left pussy lip on his way to first. See, I'm getting upset now. I'm getting mad now. See, I can't say that.
Wait, on that hit that he had that I'm seeing?
Yeah, he's running to first base. And he just fucking falls over. I'm like, dude, I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Like, I know the guys don't want to get hurt, all right? I don't want them to get hurt. I'm not trying to fucking dog them. But could you imagine if these guys worked like a fucking real job of, no, like, exactly, of physical labor?
Do they not want to get hurt? Like, if you were playing for the White Sox right now, would you not want to get hurt?
Hey, man, you know what?
Would you not just send it in and be like, send me my check. I'm going to stay at home.
Right. And the people will say, no, they still want to play because it's their dream. Man, fuck that dream. They suck. We're going to lose 100-something games. I don't want to play either.
Yeah, no. If your franchise sucks and I'm stuck on your roster and I'm going to get paid regardless of if I play for your crappy franchise, I'm not going to play until you trade me to a franchise that I would like to play for. And that's probably a shitty entitled nature, and I probably wouldn't make it long in pro sports with that attitude.
Yeah, that is shitty entitled fucking nature.
But
you fucking, you know, millennial. Right, I'm also now a millennial.
If I was on the White Sox, I'd probably blow out my left something or other on the way to first base too.
I still love him so much, dude. It's just so fucking heartbreaking what happened to him. I mean, we started on tap, right? When we started this shit, the Sox were doing something new. The Bulls were doing something new. It felt good. And just to watch the progression of us and look at, you know, old videos and shit like that, and we just see the miserableness just creeping into our eyes, dude. It's fucking,
which is so weird for me, because at this point in my life, like, I'm in the best shape of my life. Financially, things are pretty solid. I don't really like my job that much anymore, because it's just been 3 years of selling weed, and it's just selling weed, and, you know, that's that. But for the most part, like, all around, things are good, except for my sports.
And yeah, no, my life is great, dude. It's just
great. My hobbies, the things that I decide to invest my free time in, are just
bullshit.
Why?
I don't know why. It's like, it's just like a fucking pride thing too. It's like
part of fandom where, like, the billionaire gets to make the money for people going to the games, but we, like, get to vote on decisions, like, as a family. You know how fucking cool that would be? You know, obviously it would suck because most fan bases have more idiots than logical
fucking meatballs. Like me, dude. I'm a meatball.
I'm also a meatball.
Yeah.
But I think my vote would count.
Yeah, my vote would count.
Yeah. So, but, you know, like, at a certain point, we got to get to that. Like, let the billionaires keep making the money and be billionaires. But let the fans have some damn input, because this is too much.
Yeah, because everybody you're hiring, Jerry, doesn't have a good input. So you try something new. Put up a fucking poll. What should we do? What should we do? How do we do it?
Billboards from going up. Put up polls instead of billboards.
Right. He's fucking cheap as hell, too. So it'll save him a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Fucking fire the front office. Just have some of your social media intern be like, what should we do with our first round draft pick?
Yeah. I think we're onto something.
I don't.
Somebody get that to Jerry.
Yeah. Anybody know Jerry, send that over to him. Goose, we've done 33 minutes tonight. I feel good. I missed your face. I'm not ready to call it quits just yet, because I want to ask your opinion on a couple things. After a week of talking, did you get to watch any of the college basketball finales? Did you watch Iowa and UConn? Did you watch that?
I watched very little college basketball.
Okay, so you did watch very little college basketball.
And that is because the Bulls have sucked the fun out of that for me, too. The reason that I wanted to do that is to find the next player, to find that dude. When this process started, I was infatuated with De'Aaron Fox. I could not stop watching college basketball. Luka Doncic was watching fucking overseas basketball, trying to find illegal streams to watch the stuff. Because we were in it. We had a direction. So for me, college basketball, that's the outlet. If I don't,
that's what I paid attention to. That WrestleMania this weekend, South Carolina ended up beating Iowa. Caitlin Clark, one of the greatest female basketball players of all time. One of the greatest shooters, period. That kid could fucking shoot from anywhere. She's amazing. I can't wait. She's gonna be in the Indiana Fever. And I actually do, and I don't want brownie fucking points and everybody be like, oh, what a good guy he is, but I actually do watch the WNBA in the summer. I dig the Chicago Sky. My daughter digs the Chicago Sky, so we watch the games when they're on TV. I'm very upset that we're not going to get Caitlin Carr because I believe we have the third or fourth pick in the WNBA draft in the summer. We're not going to get Caitlin Carr. Also, I want to throw out a awesome little tidbit here for our guy, NWI Steve. He is on the Sox on Tap show. You know Steve. Purdue fucking sucks, dude. So, yeah. Fuck Purdue. Fuck so, Zach Edey. Alex Rude, I hope you're still in here. Fuck him. He's
draft stock. We mentioned
fuck Zach Edey's draft stock.
We mentioned lottery pick potential, and I disagreed with it just because I don't
he's not think a lottery pick. And if he is, there's no way.
It's a big man in this day and age in the league, at least not that style of big man. But it seems like pretty consensus, and obviously I get it's fresh and it's Regency bias. And
that's because it's a shitty draft.
It's a shitty draft, I guess, on tournament success.
I'm serious. If he goes in the lottery, I'd be shocked. I mean, he's going to get caught in a bunch of different situations. He does not move laterally well enough. The NBA moves too quick. It's just not I'm not saying he can't get rotational minutes. But that's what you're going to be talking about, and you draft somebody in the lottery who might be able to get rotational minutes. He has to improve his game tenfold. He's got to start hitting fucking jumpers. If he does that, okay. I could see him getting, you know, maybe like 20 minutes, 25 minutes. I just, it's a new NBA, dude. It's just not that, bag for the basket league. He's going to get swarmed. Well,
if you're taking a guy in the lottery and you're not expecting him to be a starter at some point of his rookie deal, you're wasting a pick. So.
Right. That's how I feel about it. But
I think when the recency bias fades, he'll probably.
It'll fade quick. Bronny James entering the transfer portal and then the next day entering the NBA draft so he can keep his fucking options open by being in the portal. He can return to college basketball or stay in the draft. You've had anonymous GMs talk about him, Goose, saying that he will translate better to the league. He's not a good college basketball player. You've had other GMs say, anonymous ones, of course, who knows if these are even real, that he would not be in the third round, a potential third round of an NBA draft if that existed, a hypothetical one. Yeah, I don't feel any differently about that. I told you what I thought about the kid. I think he's a pit bull defender. I think he's got good court vision. I think he could play in the league. And he came off a heart attack. I really like to see him return to college basketball for another season to see what he could do. But who am I to hate if he goes into the fucking league and gets that opportunity because of his name? And he shows it there while getting paid. Well, I mean, he's already getting paid because of NIL, but you know what I mean.
I feel that and it's a point that I'm sure not people aren't missing it, and I'm sure it's being talked about a lot of other places. Wherever he goes, LeBron is going to go.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, does that make it worth
a first round? 41-year-old LeBron James? Or 40-year-old LeBron James?
Even watching LeBron this year, obviously the Lakers aren't going to do anything.
They might get to the second round.
Okay. They're not going to win a championship.
No, they're not.
Yeah, 41-year-old LeBron, like 40-something-year-old Tom Brady won a Super
Bowl. I mean, I guess if it's late in the draft and you're all jockeying around the 20-something position – and then you have an opportunity to add one of the greatest basketball players of all time. Yeah.
The kind of power that pick has, because I think LeBron's free agency, I think he has a player option.
Yeah, he does have a player option.
Or did the Lakers, because he didn't need no extension.
No, there's no extension signed for LeBron. Not that I know of. I mean, I could look it up right away, but.
Oh, yeah, double check. You
need a fucking stat guy.
Double check, because I'm kind of feeling like there was, but I'm like 60-40. I don't think that he did.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, I'm on Spo track. It's loading, boy. 2024, 2025, player option, dude. So, yeah, he's got a player option heading into the next season.
So, yeah, Bronny's going to go in the first round. Wild. That's going to be the feeling.
Yeah.
I mean, and honestly, especially in the 20s, that means he could go to a contender. You're drafting Bronny.
Well, right. Yeah, right.
At the end of your bench, you're letting him develop the same way he did in the college system this year. With his dad, LeBron fucking James, on a team that just finished in the top 10 in terms of standings.
And like I told you, I want to see it. A lot of people hate on it. I want to see it.
I want to see it because I want to see how it plays out. I think it's something that could actually, in a weird term of events, severely tarnish LeBron's legacy. Having him somewhat rig a draft, once again trying to control the narrative and the situation and lay GMing himself into a situation with his son where he's then going to have control again.
I just want to see a father and son play,
you know, outside of like Ken Griffey. Yeah. I can't think of brothers, cousins, but father, son.
It's cool shit.
All just don't usually happen.
No.
Because it generally means that you've played for over 20 years for your son to be old enough to play.
Remember
with
the fucking day LeBron was drafted, dude. I remember it so well. It sucks. I remember. I'm old as fuck, boy. All right, you got any closing words before we get out of here, man? Because now I'm feeling bad about myself because I'm aging. I got some grays going on in here.
No. I mean, let's lose out. Like I said, I don't want Jerry to get this extra attendance money. We just had to celebrate fan night with the Bulls once again leading the league in attendance despite the product that has been put out on the floor and having it paraded in our faces.
I could just hear Tim Sinclair. I didn't mean to cut you off. I just hear Tim Sinclair right now. Thank you, Bulls fans, for being the greatest fans in the NBA by selling us out every night, even though we suck.
Yeah,
it's good. I don't have a good voice.
I'd rather have the lottery slot. It's clear we're going to be in the play-in no matter what. Think it was Steph? No, maybe. I was scrolling through Twitter. Could have been somebody else, but I got to give somebody credit for it. The Hawks and the Bulls are the only teams who have like not moved in the standings for more than half of the year. Like we've been locked into the play-in in 9th and 10th with the Hawks for 80%+ of the season. Other teams have moved up and down. Think Boston and then Chicago and Atlanta have had the least movement in the standings. So it's been destined. And maybe we'll steal one again. Like last year we did win one game, and we did have some fun with the Heat after that and probably should have won that game. And the Heat did go on to play in the championship. So that's a fun storyline. Obviously, we are severely injured. We do not have about $70 million worth of our roster available to play. And Andre Drummond might also be added to that after he did whatever he did to his ankle or Achilles.
He hurt his pride.
That
could be a fucked up injury that can keep you out a while.
He might have thrown himself on the floor too. Jesus.
It's just such an embarrassment across
the world.
It really is.
No, let's lose out. Let's get that lottery slot and play for lottery luck because at the end of the season, it is once again going to come down to that night and that night alone for what this season means. Whether it
absolutely
was
nothing.
I mean, if we get lottery luck, then it was worth something.
Oh, we won't. We'll be 7.
Yeah, this is true.
Oh, man, I see the negativities happen. We got to get out of here and keep everybody happy. We'll be back next week for a season recap show because the Bulls are done on the 14th after they play the Knicks to close out the season. Thank you for joining us tonight. You know where to go, ontapsportsnet.com. You know where to follow Bulls on Tap at ontapsportsnet, Goose on Tap, me. 5-star rating and review anywhere you listen to podcasts because you can listen to us there and subscribe to the YouTube. See you next week on Wednesday. Lose out, Bulls. See, that was good. Lose out.